This is Victory House.
This evening, or this message, I would ask, I know you pay attention in service. I know that you write notes, and I know that you're always present in church. But I want to ask, if you, I want to encourage you that make sure you're a little bit more sensitive. And whatever God drops in your heart today, please run with it. I know why I'm saying that, just because of a few things God told me as I was preparing for this message. Let's say a word of prayer as we pray. Father, we give you praise. We thank you for another opportunity to fellowship in your presence. We are grateful for how far you have brought us. We ask, O Lord God, that you open the eyes of our understanding and let us receive from you today in the name of Jesus. Your word says in the book of Psalm 102, it says, "But you, O Lord, shall endure forever, and the remembrance of your name through all generation." It says, "You would arise and have mercy on Zion, for the time to favor her, yes, the set time has come." I ask in the name of Jesus that you favor every single person listening to my voice right now in the mighty name of Jesus. And you open up doors for them in the mighty name of Jesus. Let the ministry of your word be blessed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Real quickly, I'm just going to share a few things that is very, it might be like I'm talking to you, but this is the way I feel about this message. When I was asked that I'll be giving a message today, I think it was a few weeks ago, and I started searching, but this message that I'm preaching is something that I wrote down over a year ago, and I didn't even know I was going to preach it. It was just like talking to God and, you know, having communion with him. Matthew chapter 6 verse 33. We've, for the most part, most of us, I'm sure we've heard this scripture, but I want to read it again so that we can hear it the millionth time. Praise God. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added to you. It says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. One of the things scripture here is telling us is that it's not just telling us that we should seek God. It is telling us that we should seek God first. So first it's saying, okay, seek God. But it's not telling you when you should seek God. It's telling you seek God early. Seek God first. Put him first. He is priority. And then another thing this scripture tells us is that it tells us things that can hinder us from seeking God, right? Because it says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added. Then I would have thought that when it says all these things shall be added, then you tell us the things that will be added, right? All these things shall be added, and then you tell us all those things. But verse 34 says, therefore, do not worry. But you just told me to seek God first, and these things shall be added. Now you're telling me, therefore, which means that worry is something that will hinder you from not seeking God. If you worry, you will be hindered from not seeking God. At least if you seek him, you might not seek him first because you are worrying first. And the thing about worrying is, yeah, there's just a concern. What if? Yes, what if? What I know is, I don't know what will happen in 30 minutes, but I know regardless of what happens, it will favor me because God knows what will happen and everything works together for my good. The reason why I say this is when he talks about seeking God early, I'll share a story with you. Personally, I had my own master plan and I thought it was a grand plan. It was very simple. Go to school, when you're done with college, go into either investment banking or going to politics, go into business, do your own thing, amass money. I mean, give people here and there. But when I'm like 70 or 80, then I'll give my life to Christ. At least I sought God. It might not just be first. Does that make sense? And the reason for that was because I felt like if I seek God early, then I'll lose out on this other thing. So why am I seeking God now? Why don't I make all this first? Then I'll go to the kingdom. And so this was, again, like I said, just things that I was having a conversation with God. And one of the things that came out of that is, you see, well, let me backtrack. What does it mean to seek? The first thing is, when it says seek, it means to go and search for something. It means to go and try to discover something, know more about something. Just it's not just, all right, I saw that phone. But when you're seeking for something, you're constantly looking and knowing more and relating and discovering. You're inquiring. You're focused on searching for something. And that's why scripture says that ask and it will be given to you. It says seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. It says for everyone who asks, receive. And he who seeks, find. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. So essentially, seeking is not just, okay, I've been to church once, or I read my Bible, or I know about God. It's a daily thing. I should try to seek. I should try to continue to discover. And I'll tell you this. When you're a teenager, you feel like, when you're a teenager, you're like, I want to just be an adult. I just want to grow up. Because you feel like you know all there is to know about being a teenager. Now when you're an adult in your early 20s, you're just saying, man, I wish I'm married and I have kids. Like, you're always thinking of that next level because you feel like there's something missing in now. Just having that mindset about God, not getting to a point that, okay, I've been a Christian now for a while. I read my Bible because they tell me to read my Bible. I pray. Or, yes, it's a casual relationship. At some point, then, it's just kind of like you start to make assumptions about God because you're not excited. You're not constantly seeking him. The reason why I'm emphasizing the seek is because at the end of the day, when I tie it all together, us having an understanding of what it means to seek would help. You see, our lives as human beings is divided into three phases. There is the past, the present, and the future. Basic. That's our life. Everything that happened up until before I started preaching is your past. Even everything that happened up until before I started talking about the past is your past, right? Now, there is your present, and then there is your future. Some people break man into morning, afternoon, and night, right? The past, you can't do too much about it. The events have happened. You have memories. It's just the events have already taken place. You can't necessarily change your past, right? It's usually the only thing that you can do about your past is remember it. Just put it in memory. Here's the struggle. Some people, about their past, there's hurt. They're not excited. There's regret. And because of that, the memories they have of their past is not exciting. The other people is, man, the good old days is exciting. Things were great. But again, it's memory. There's a struggle, there's a conflict between those two mindsets. The first struggle is the regrets, and that holds one back. You think about your past and you're not excited. But scripture says that you should not remember the former things, neither consider the things of old. That only happens when you are seeking God, right? So it says you should not remember the past. God says, I will make, Isaiah 43 verse 18, I will make. So God is telling us that regardless of what happened in your past, I will make a way for you. So let's not worry about those past hurts and regrets. Now, for the folks that are really excited, there's some type of success. Oh, I've done this. I've been able to accomplish X, Y, Z. And that's what's in their memory. The struggle is this. Paul was saying something. Paul said that, not that I have attained. One thing I do, I forget whatever is beneath me, behind me, and I press forward. Regardless of whatever your accomplishment is, there are other things to be accomplished. There are other mountains to conquer, right? So there's that part of our memory. Now, what I want to say is this. Do not let your mind be full of memories that there is no place for visions for the future. All you're doing is in the past. Either regrets or living in past excitement. That's why you see sometimes some people, and I think this usually happens to either football players, well, I'm not saying football players, celebrities, whereby things have moved on, but they are still living in like, oh yes, I wrote this album 40 years ago, and they still feel like that because they are living in that past. Yes, it was great, but the biggest thing you can do one of the things you can do for yourself is do not dwell on that past. Don't let your mind be full of memories of the past that there is no room for visions for the future. Right? Now, so that's past. That's a segment of our lives. Or that's an aspect of man. The second aspect is the present, but I'll fast forward because the present is where I want to dwell. So let's go into the future. You see, one thing about the future is that some people focus on the future and they forget that the roadmap to the future is the present. Right? The focus is on the future and we forget that the roadmap lies in the present. And that's why the Bible says, seek. I can't seek God in my past. I can't seek God in my future. I seek him now. And when I seek him now, I know my future is bright. Right? Sometimes some people say, how do I know God's will for my life? Simple. Whatever he tells you to do today, just do it. How do I know God? How do you know when the hair on your head grows? You just, is in the daily habits. I was reading a book, I think this is when I was, just before I got married, and it was by John Maxwell. And one of the things he said in that book, he said that I would know if you will be successful if I just spend one day with you. You can pick the day. I said, what do you mean? What if you come on a day and I'm tired? What if you come on a day? I had all these excuses that what if it comes on a day and I'm just not at my peak? How would that be a yardstick for you to determine? But the principle is this. Success is in your daily routine. Your body functions in the daily routines. It's in the daily exercises. It is in the daily things that you do that would determine where you are going, right? So if we look at the future, one of the things scripture says in Jeremiah, we know this scripture. It says, Jeremiah 29, verse 11, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil. To give you what? To give you a future and a hope. And then we stop there, but let's take it a step further. It says, then you will call upon me and go and pray to me. And he says what? I will listen to you. Verse 13 now says, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your hearts. In other words, I know the thoughts that I have towards you. I know where I want you to be. But for you to get there, you have to seek me. You have to seek me in the present for you to get where I want you to be in the future. So there's that connection. A lot of times we think that, my future is not linked to where I am right now. I can guarantee you that regardless of how you think, or what you think contrary to that statement that my present doesn't affect my future, it's not a biblical principle. It's not even a principle of nature. Everything, it's in motion, right? things just don't happen overnight. Even rain, let's look at rain. Rain just doesn't fall from the sky. You have to, the whole photosynthesis, the whole process has to take place, and then osmosis and everything goes into the sky, and then before you know what, it starts to rain. The Bible says when a cloud is full, it empties itself. There's a process of the cloud being full that gives rain. My point is this. There is a connection between your present and your future. And that connection lies in you seeking God now. So that goes to the present. And this is where I want to focus. We've talked about that our life is divided into three segments. The first thing is that there is the past. You can't change that. God can redeem that. God can use that to tell a story. God can use what happened in the past to be what your message will be that will transform your future. But God is the only one that can do that. I can't change my past in the natural. God can redeem that. God can restore. Right? Future is where God is taking us. But what happens is the now. And if you are going to title this message is Sick. I don't think I gave you the title. Sick. That's the title of the message. Sick. Isaiah 55 verse 6 says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. One of the things that I was just thinking about, why is it called the presence of God? Why not the past of God? Right? So if God shows up now, his presence now. Do you get what I'm saying? There's a connection between when God shows up now, he's present, he's here. And when he shows up, things change in the now. He's physically here. God is not going to be more powerful last week than he is today. Neither is he going to be more powerful 5 years from now than he is today. My point is this. Your present is where you need to focus. That is where you need to seek God. That is where you need to spend all your efforts and energy. Why? Because one of the things the Bible says, today is the day of salvation, right? It's today. It's not yesterday or, you know what, I know you'll be saved in the future. Don't worry, I got you. No, it is today. And that's what Jesus said in the book of Luke 19, verse 9. It says, today salvation has come to this house. Today. My question is, what are you doing today that guarantees you a glorious future? Your actions is in the today, is in the now. It is what you are doing now. A lot of times we feel, okay, we procrastinate with things. When I get there, or when things change, or if I was able to do something different, if life was, or if circumstances, or if I was in a different situation. No. I will tell you that everything is in today. If you're going to change your life, it's starting from today. If you're going to take a step downtown, you have to first act by moving today, right? It's what you start doing today. So the present, right? The present is, of the three, that is the connector. It connects the past to the future. If I want to change course, if I change something today, then I can see the outcome in the future. I was listening to this research, and I thought it was very profound. They found out that people that are really successful, they just make little changes in their daily routine, and then they see big results. They found out that people that are not so successful think they need to make big changes, and then they'll get little results. You see the reverse? My point is, what are you doing today that, again, secures your future? And it's in the seeking God. It's in the seeking God. When I ask myself a question, the question that I ask myself is, Why, again, and I think I started going on that tangent earlier, why is it that scripture says that you should seek God early? And then it says all these things shall be added, and he didn't tell us those things that were added. A lot of times we think that those things that added will be added in the future. There's some truth to that. We think that, okay, let me first take care of my future, because at the end of the day, we wake up, we go about our work so that we can get resources to do X, Y, Z. Essentially, we are working and we're trusting our God to bless the works of our hands, which has to do with the future, right? But my point is, when it comes to your present, how does that thing affect me seeking God? Amen? What you are doing today, if we fast forward 5 years, 10 years down the line, do you have a picture of the picture you see? Is it something that excites you? Or if not, then what are you doing differently? And that's why the Bible says, seek God. You can seek God wherever you are. Right now, it's okay, look, God, let me start seeking you as from today. We talked about that your past is gone. Let's forget about the past. What I can only impact is my right now, is my today. And I need to make sure that impact, I'm doing whatever it is that I can do. Let me read this scripture. John chapter 9, verse 4. It says, I must walk while it is day, because night comes when no man can work. I must walk while it is day. How do I know God's will for my life? I must walk while it is day. How do I know that this is God's plan for my life? It is in your daily routines. See, the instruction he gave you this morning, go and do this, that is more important than, God, I want to go and evangelize for you next year. Because it's in that instruction today that evangelist is born, right? Sometimes you don't see that connection. It could just be as easy as go and do this, go and do that. It's in the daily routine. Look all through scripture. There's nobody that their defining moment was just the first time they say, okay, yes, this is it. No. It is in the, David did not first, the first time, it wasn't when he met Goliath. He had been tending the sheep. He had killed the lion and the bear. He had been training himself in the daily routines. If you have, I think we talked about this in our Sunday school, you have been faithful with little, then I can commit more into your hands. I know that, okay, you are seeking me with a heart. It's not about a religious heart. It's not about, okay, a checkbox. Let me wake up, I pray, read my Bible. No, there's a heart that I'm using to seek God. And then here's how we know that heart is right. When God tells you to do X, Y, Z, you do it. Let's not get too caught up in, God, I want to change the world for you. Yes, I know you want to change the world for me. But if you can't hear me on this one-on-one conversation, how are you going to hear me when you are three times as busy? Does that make sense? If you can't sit down now, it's a simple conversation. Okay, go and do this, go and do that. And you put that aside. But you're focusing on, God, I want to know your will for my life. God, help me. I want to know your will for my life. And then you're praying and you're fasting. It's your breakthrough is in your instructions. If you're willing and you're obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. Simple. That is how God leads us. If we sum the whole Bible is God giving instructions and you carrying out the instructions and you seeing the reward. Jesus came to die for you and I. At a point, he didn't feel like dying, but he knew his assignment, right? But he still went on to go and die. Why am I saying this? It is important that you have a connection between my present and my future. And that is why you find out that some people that don't have that connection, they get to a future and the future is not necessarily exactly what they were thinking. I'll give you an example. If we look at all this Me Too movement, or somebody did something, it was 40 years ago, or it was 30 years ago, or it was 20 years ago. He didn't think that he would be of something of value, or he felt my actions don't matter, right? But if I know that where I am going 40, 50, 100, if Jesus tarries, well, me, I want to go 99 after God. Well, if Jesus tarries 100 years old or whatever, whenever, you find out that you are making decisions that impact that. You are thinking beyond the now, right? And that's why the present is very important. What are you doing now? We focus a lot on the future, but the future, I can't stress this enough, is tied to the now. Let's read Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10. It says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. Right? Whatever your hand finds to do, it says, do it with your might. For there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave. Whatever. A practical example that I like to is when I think about whatever your hand finds to do is Pastor Emmanuel. When I met Pastor Emmanuel in 2009, it didn't seem like there was a church. I mean, he said, okay, he's going to preach, but it didn't seem like it was going to be a church. But I've seen him be somebody's PA, he's been in media, he's been in praying, he's done discipleship, he's done different things. And when I look at what he's doing today, we were talking the other day, there were notes he wrote in 2009 that he's applying today. Imagine when they gave him that project in 2009. How does this affect me? Let me just do whatever it is. He pulled back those notes and he's building materials from there. It's not until you get there. If you get there and then you want to start preparing, then sometimes it's too late. Right? If somebody comes in now and we need to perform an emergency surgery on that person, and that's when I'm opening textbook. Well, okay. Is this a scapula? The person is gone. You get what I'm saying? It's not, or you are in a situation, and then that's when you now start, what did scripture say? I can't call Pastor Man, I can't call him. Let me text Brother Yomi. Brother Yomi, what does the scripture say about protection? You get what I'm saying? It may sound funny, but unfortunately, that's the reality of a lot of Christians. We get to places that we're not prepared because we don't see the connection between today and the future. Or we see it, we trivialize it. It's in a lot of things. It's in how you treat people. Sometimes the person you are sitting beside, you don't know where that person is going to. Just at least be nice to people. You don't know. Never look down on anybody. Anybody. Where you are today, thank God for it. Because somebody else too is moving up. You are moving up. I thank God for that. But do not ever think that because you are in a certain place tonight is an opportunity for you to look down on somebody. No. Again, going back to the now. But now, so we see the importance of seeking God. We see the importance of the now. And what I mean by now is today. Let's forget all the excuses. This is why I've not done what I have not done. Let's clear all of that, and now let's focus. I am going to start doing X, Y, Z, and then you focus on it. Excuses. I was reading an article, and I think this was back, and I forget who quoted this, but the person says, excuses are nails to, I think they are nails to nail your coffin or something like that. Let me not misquote it, but essentially, excuses are reasons they will continue to stop you from advancing. Right? But now, let's take a step back and say, okay, look, I understand that my now is important, But why am I not seeking God? And I'm trying seeking God with whatever it is that he's telling you. Some of us were in defining moments of my life. I've been asking myself a question, and I haven't found the answer, and I'll keep asking God for the answer. Why would Ruth make such a decision? I said it on Sunday. Why would Ruth make such a decision to say, I'm going to follow Naomi? Husband gone, children gone. If Naomi gives birth today, where, how many years will I have to wait? And you say that's who you are going to follow. I think the other girl, Opa, what happened? She just followed. Nobody faults her. She just went, and that was the end. I don't know what happened to her in the Bible again. Right? My point is this. You're now, this present day, this is all I have, right? It's now that I have. I am going to show up there with 100%. I'm going to give it my all. Let's not worry too much about, God, what's your plan for my life? You will get there when you're following God now. Just whatever he tells you. When did the wine, the water turn into wine? He says, whatever he tells you to do, just do it. Whatever he tells you to do now, just do it. So what stops us from seeking God, we said, is worry. Why is worry dangerous? You see, the thing about worrying is this. Other than the fact that it signifies fear, it signifies doubt, it signifies that I don't trust God. Let's even give all the excuses that, okay, well, maybe I don't know what God has said, and that's why I'm worried. Or I'll rephrase it, I'm just genuinely concerned, right? The struggle with worrying is this. Worrying torments. If you are worried about something, you can't think clearly. But you need a sound mind to be able to do whatever it is God has called you. So worrying starts eating that soundness of mind. Worry starts creating anxiety and panic. And that's why scripture says God has not given us the spirit of fear, but that of power, of love, and a sound mind. Why do I need a sound mind? I need a sound mind to execute everything God has told me to do. Another thing about worrying is this. Bible says in Jeremiah, and this is where I was. I told you that this stuff that I wrote was like a year ago. Bible says, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and have dug for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Worrying will create an alternative for you. Worrying will create another option for you. Well, you know what? I know God is going to do it, but I think this is what God is saying. But how is it going to happen? And then you start to slowly deviate. Rather than you staying in the Word, I don't know how it's going to happen, but I'm going to stay in the Word. When you think about digging a well, if you want to get to water, what do? Can anybody help me? If you want to get to water, what do? You keep digging until you get to water. Okay, so I'm digging, and I don't see water. Do you think I'll get to water if I extend the circumference of the well? So I'm digging this hole. And I feel like, okay, I've dug for like maybe 20 feet, and I don't see water. Do you think that I should say, look, let me expand the hole. Maybe I'll see water. No, I should do what? Keep digging. That's how we are. If I am searching for something and I am seeking God, I don't rest until I find the answer I'm looking for. It's not being more busy. It's not occupying my mind with other things that will make it seem like, okay, yes, I am a religious person. How are you doing? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is faithful. I didn't say that. I know God is faithful. You get what I'm saying? It's not by being more busy. It's not you just throwing yourself. And Jesus gave us an example when you look at Martha. He said, Martha, you're just running up and down. One thing is needful. Just focus. Seek God. You stay and you seek him and you start to dig. and you dig, and as you are digging, that is where the nutrients come in. That is where things, see, there are some things that if I give you a revelation, or if I tell you God said this, when rubber meets road, if you have forgotten, you'll be like, well, and God, you said this, oh. But if you find it yourself, when rubber, and I'll give you an example. I was flying to Nigeria. This is like a few years ago. I think it was like 5 years ago, 6 years ago. Lately then, I was meditating a lot on protection. And with long life will it satisfy me. I've just been meditating on no plague shall come in my dwelling, say, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. We were flying. I was going to Nigeria, and the plane just dropped. Like, it dropped like this. The air hostess, all of them just sat down, and then, okay, so it's one thing for air hostess not to panic. But when air hostess is panicking, then you know, like, okay, what's going on? And then there was a lady beside me, and she said that she's going to open the window, she's going to jump down. So I just started laughing. She was like, ah, look at the plane. I just laughed. What's wrong with you? I said, I'm laughing because I know the plane is okay. And she said, she was just looking at me like, okay, what's going on? But she was so in that frantic mode that she literally opened, she was trying to pull the window. She was like, man, she needs to get out of this plane, right? But my point is that when you want to now start texting your pastor or looking for a scripture that God, just help us, oh God, just help us. What am I saying? There's a part of you understanding and resting in God. You need to rest in God. And when you rest in God, it's in the seeking. That's the only way. If you don't seek, the Bible says, if you seek, you will find. You can't find something that you have not sought after. If you are not seeking God, and it's in the daily things. Let's forget about the grand scheme of things. The big vision for my life. God, you have given me this. How will it come to pass? I don't know. Even the process of a vision materializing, you need to seek him. Because the Bible says that in Habakkuk chapter 2, we've talked about this. We talked about it a lot in the visions class. That I will stand on the watch and watch what he will say to me. So I'm still seeking him. Then whatever he tells me, I will write it down. Then I'll go and do it. So my challenge to us today is, let us see the connection between our present and our future. The past needs to be where it belongs. Leave it in the past. If there's any regrets, if there's any hurt, if there's anything the devil is using to hold you down, read Isaiah 43 verse 18, that do not remember the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will make. It's God that will make. I love that far. It's I will make. How is he going to do it? Is he going to go into the past? He's God. You get what I'm saying? So the goal is you need to continue to seek him. God, help me seek you while it is early. Help me seek you while it is early. And what does that mean? The while it is early is now. Yes, for whatever reason, you've not sought him up until now, but you can start to seek him now and not procrastinate. So how do I seek him? In the beginning, as I tie up, in the beginning was the Word. I like Amplified. I'm reading Amplified. It's in the beginning, before all time, was the Word, Christ. And the Word was God. And the Word was God himself. The Word was the God, and the Word was God himself. It says, he was continually existing in the beginning, co-eternally with God. All things were made and came into existence through him. And without him, not even one thing was made that has come into being. In him was life, the power to bestow life. In him was life, the life was the light of men. In God is life. Whatever it is that you're seeking or that you're looking for, it's in God. It's only in God that you can find those things. The contentment, the success, or whatever it is, the peace of mind, it's only in God. And that's why you need to seek him. And how do you seek him? Eat his word. when we look at, I mean, we are fasting now, but in when the fast is over, I don't say, I ate in the past, I'm not going to eat again. Or do you say that? Maybe some of you are on a different level. I ate last week, so that's it. I'm not eating anymore for this year. Or, you know what? I don't even need to eat. I'm just thinking about the food I'll eat in the future, so I'm full. Is that how we are? We eat daily. We feed daily. It's a daily thing. And that's why you have to see God daily in every area of life. At work. In every area of life. When I was preparing this message, I had two people in mind, two categories of people. The people that feel like they've lost ground. That you feel like, wow, my mates have gone. I'm supposed to be at this point. I just feel like I've lost ground. If you can just rise up, we're going to say a prayer and then we'll close. There are two people, like I said. The first person is, I feel like when I look at my life, I don't think that I am where I'm supposed to be. I feel like I have lost ground. I feel like, God, my mates have gone. This is not what we've been talking about. It could be you've lost time. It could be you feel like, you know, you need restoration. And then there's the second category of people that all you think about is just past success. Maybe you wrote a book, you did something, and you have not been able to plunge to the next mountain. You have not been able to conquer the next thing. You have not been able to follow the next instruction. We're going to play those two scriptures. The first scripture is, you know what? I'll read it. Isaiah, give me Isaiah 43, please. Isaiah 43, verse 18. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. Continue. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. And then the next scripture that I want us to read is 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I think it's 2 Corinthians chapter 6, Philippians 3:13. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. So you're going to ask God. You know where you are. Ask God for grace this evening. God, if there's anything that is holding me back, past hurts, past regrets, I am asking that you create a new way. I am asking for restoration in this area. I am asking for restoration in that area. I am asking for restoration in my home. I am asking for restoration in my career.